What's up? How are you?
I am alive, and yourself?
I'm good too. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh yeah, that's right. Shit. Happy Valentine's Day.
I know, dude. Like you're my Valentine today.
Oh yeah, okay. I'm honored.
So I have Tim here. I was on his podcast. Introduce yourself.
So what's going on, guys? My name is Tim. I am a personal trainer, nutritionist, and transitioning to life coach also as well. I have a podcast that I do weekly, comes out every Monday, 5:30 p.m. Just dropped a special episode with one of my good friends, Jamel, who owns a flower shop, Eleanor's Flowers out in Queens. So if you happen to be last minute with your gifting, or you're late on your Valentine's Day gifts, you're more than welcome to hit him up and save yourself some dollars. But at the same time, it's a great podcast that I started, I want to say, is because started new season basically started off with having you on here, and it's
Ew.
the fire has basically been going on. The amount of people have been hitting me up that have either, I want to say, were impacted by our episode,
Oh,
or
really?
oh yeah, you know, I'm still getting likes from it. I'm still getting messages about it. You know, it's
Really?
oh yeah. So that it gave me even more fire to just continue the episodes that I'm gonna be doing, because occasionally I was really only gonna do it once a month because of my time and my schedule, but I figured let me try to make more time and do this thing if more people are actually going to listen and take something from my words.
Yeah, hell yeah. And I love what you do. I mean, like, listen, we know each other personally, so like I love you as a human,
I
but
love you too.
thank you. And but I have always loved that you wanted to make an impact. Even just down, like, you make the jewelry, right?
Yep. Hold on. Got it on my wrist right now. Yeah.
Right,
My,
even just
yeah.
down to that, like you're just a multi-talented human, and you're just a good spirit, a good soul. So that's why you're here. But you said you're transitioning to life coaching.
Yeah, so life coaching has kind of become, I want to say, like the side hustle in me, but I realized that it actually can become something that could take over a full-time career, just because the amount of people that hit me up for not only just the physical and, you know, nutrition advice and stuff like that, but also now people are also hitting me up on the spiritual advice, but as well as the healing advice and being able to transition yourself from being a toxic piece of shit into somebody who can be somebody that is motivational, but also disciplined and educated on their emotions and how to properly deal with them, which I'm still learning a good portion of it. But for the most part, I would like to say, compared to where I was 4 to 5 years ago, is a complete, the fuck, was a completely different person, but completely different mental state, completely different spirituality, or whatever the fuck it would be, spiritual connection, different type of spiritual connection. And yeah, it's I found that once I was able to really dig myself out a lot of my own holes, and I saw a lot of people who were dealing with similar struggles, and you figured why not? You know, if I can make it into a career, I'd rather get paid for someone doing something that I can say that I'm more passionate about than working a regular 9 to 5.
Hell yeah. I think the 9 to 5 life isn't for people like us, realistically. And also I want to, like, what you like, okay, so you started in nutrition and like the physical body. What would you call that? What
Yeah,
would you
personal training.
personal
Yeah.
training, that's it. You started in personal training, but you know, and we kind of talked about this on your show as well, but like how it does start up here before you could even get to the physical, the like it starts in your mind.
Absolutely. Because
And
before you can
so,
even get into the gym or before you can even get a workout in, you got to get out of bed.
yeah, right. And that's where the life coaching, I think, comes in. I think you could use a life coach in any area of life. If you're going through a breakup, if you're fucking trying to get skinny, trying to get whatever it is, like
I would just
life.
say, even if you're a positive person, even if you have a happier lifestyle, just to have it's not only just like somebody that's positive around you need in just your down states, but also in your positive states also, just because you're celebrating a win or you're celebrating something about it as well. person could also show you how to properly deal with that celebration. Like, for example, if someone wins a lottery, instead of blowing it off and going on a night out versus properly investing and putting money into areas, it's like the fuck, I just
Like
use
a
this
financial
terminology. It,
advisor type of thing.
like it's based, you're led to how to properly deal. Yes, exactly. You know, like a financial advisor, basically. Like, if you're too, how would I say, spendy with your stuff, it's important to have somebody there that's, gonna say, wait a minute, calm down. Let's backtrack. But then, yeah, I mean, having somebody that's there for your positive being as well as for your negative being, but it just to keep you in check, keep you humble. Like, somebody to say, like, yeah, you did this shit, but you ain't these shit just yet. Like, just let's keep it going. Let's, like, world is still not revolving around you, nor will it ever, but let's just keep it pushing and make the next impact.
And you know what I've found, like, and I've heard this too, and I think it's the truth. Like with therapy or life coaching or anything like that, a lot of people think that you only go to a therapist or a life coach as like a last resort. Like, oh, now I'm depressed, or now I have anxiety, so now I should go. Now I'm in turmoil or whatever. But I think that therapy, life coaching, whatever it is you get yourself into, can be there as a tool so that you don't get to that point of depression and anxiety. Like, you know what I mean? You can do it while you're
Yeah.
happy and living a fulfilled life, you know, to make sure
Absolutely.
you stay that way.
And waiting for the last minute is the worst thing to do, just because now you're stuck in a state of trying to pull yourself out versus a state where if you had just stumbled and tied your shoes, you wouldn't have fallen as hard as you did. And tying your shoes, as in just going to therapy and get it off your chest a little bit, and then before you had a detrimental fall emotionally.
I love that. If you had just tied your fucking shoes. Just tie your fucking shoes.
Literally, yeah, and it. My therapist knows. Like, I talk to her both. And when I'm in a very great state, but also yes, when I'm in my worst state, but more so in my positive times, just because I want to be able to express how I'm truly feeling when I actually do feel emotions, as far as happiness and joy, excitement, stuff like that. Because you're focusing more on that and talking more about those emotions, not necessarily like suppressing and ignoring the other ones, but focusing more on those eventually lead you to a more like gratitude, like a living by gratitude type lifestyle.
It's something that I feel like a lot of people look at therapy and they're like, nah, fuck that. I don't need therapy. Or we all fucking need
Why
therapy.
do I gotta fucking tell a stranger my problems?
And the reason why I think is because like our fucking people in our circles, like we live in these echo chambers where people just love you for you. And we tell our sides of the story, right? Like we all have, there's three sides. There's your side, their side, and like what really fucking happened and how it really went down. And so like what I notice is like I tell my side of the story, not that I fabricate the truth, but like from my perspective, I tell my side of the story. And sometimes I can get clouded in my own shit. And the people around me are just like, they believe every, like, not again, not that I'm lying, but they believe my perspective 100%. And then they give their opinions based on that. Whereas when I tell my therapist something, she calls me out on my shit. She's like, well, what did you do to allow that? Or what did you do? Like, you know what I mean? She doesn't, it's
Yeah.
no, there's no getting off the fucking hook with a therapist.
It's a reality check. If you're surrounded by a bunch of yes men, you need to have a therapist. So I'm going to keep you in check and have you that reality check to say, hey, maybe that wasn't the best decision you could have done. Maybe if you had sat back, or maybe if you had bit your tongue and then thought about it, saying something a little differently versus saying it in an aggressive and angry and spewing hatred from your fucking mouth. Like, taking a step back and then doing the deep healing part, which is taking a look within, like, why am I so angry at this? Like, something like
Why is this triggering
you're,
me?
yeah, exactly. And people who tend to be more on the sensitive side tend to be the most either angry or scared personnel.
Right. Right. And a lot of the times when you feel that, like,
I'm sorry, I really just bit my fucking tongue really hard just now. And then I was trying to work it off, but like, shit, that really hurt.
Feel it, allow it. Just see, this is.
Yeah, no, that's not the pain I want to feel. No, thank you.
This is the safe space for you to do so.
Shit, that really did hurt.
Well, how'd you do it? How'd you bite your
fucking know. It was just mid sentence, and my tongue just like leaked out, and then my big fucking front teeth decided to chomp down on it.
I hate when that happens, dude.
Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not even like the front of my tongue. It's like that corner part, like right on like the, like, anyway, going back to what you're saying.
Listen, we can segue into anything. But yeah, I think that unbiased, objective opinion is important. That's why you fucking tell a stranger your problems. And then that stranger becomes like, how long have you been in therapy?
2.5 years now.
Okay. I've been in therapy for about 5, right? And I can't picture myself not being in therapy, you know? I mean, I can, but I just, why would I? Because it has helped me so much. But after 2.5 years, 5 years, your therapist knows you. Mm-hmm. and knows what. So essentially, yeah, they start out as a stranger and they become somebody who knows the intricacies of who you are, probably sometimes better than you know yourself, you know. Yeah. And they don't bring that bias, like they don't love you, which is great. Mm-hmm. They don't love you, and yeah, they care about you to some extent, but they don't love you and care about you the way that like your mother or your sister or your brother would care about you.
Absolutely. So I feel one thing that really does turn people off to therapy though is like trying to find the right therapist. And here's the one thing that I learned. It is important to find the right therapist. It took me 5 different tries. So when I say I've been in and out of therapy like consecutively now, 2.5 years, I've talked to one person, and now I've slowly transitioned to another therapist who's, I want to say, even built an even deeper connection. Actually, can you give me 1 second? I'm getting an important phone call.
Yeah. Do you think? We're back.
Yes. Sorry about that. Okay. But yeah, going back to what you're saying about the, like, so my first initial, like, I want to say, step into therapy was actually when I was in basic training. So back then, I was still a little, I want to say, like freshly traumatized from my house fire. So, mm-hmm. And since it started when I was sleeping, it really took me until I was 25 to finally get like my sleeping down to the point that I could get like 7-8 hours a night without tossing and turning finally. But when I was going through basic, there was a night where it was basically I had dreamt the house fire and went into a PTSD type episode where I had thought I was still in the house when it was going on, and I was out. The funny part of the story is that I was on the in basic there's bunks, so yeah. I was on the top bunk. And here I am thinking in my old house where it was just my mattress and floor.
Oh, fuck.
So when I went to go jump up, let's just say I fell. I didn't eat shit completely. My face didn't hit the ground, but there was definitely a loud thud. And then that kind of like snapped me out of it and then realized, oh, shit, no, I'm actually I'm in fucking basic training. Kind of actually wish I was back there. But shit, it was... definitely like the next day I had actually go to my drill sergeant and tell him what happened, everything, and they told me to go to BUMD or like behavioral health or something like that when it wasn't basic. Can't remember exactly, but basically the basis therapist. And I'll never forget the man, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have finished basic training either, because there was times where I really did feel I was I want to say on the verge of quitting, because between me not getting proper sleep, it was making my mental state in the daytime even worse, just because I wasn't able to properly sleep on time. And then also during basic training, you get woken up in the middle of the night to do something called fire guard for 1 hour. So it could be random throughout the week, but you get as blessed as having a first shift, which is just basically as soon as you shower, you're getting ready to go back into your shift versus you going into the middle of the night, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, boom, you get woken up for your shift. And then you have to go back to bed, just get woken up again for formation a couple hours later. So yeah, no, fuck. So and then me having the fucking sleep problem, it was impossible to really even try to like get something stable. So as a result, depression got worse, my anxiety was at an all-time high, and my therapist at the time, Mr. Anderson, he, which I thankful for, like I said, wasn't for him, he really sat me down and really introduced me to a lot of things as far as what the brain likes to focus on, how to calm yourself down in certain situations where you feel the most anxious, because he too was also in the service, but he was like honorably discharged and all these things, and then became a therapist for basic training soldiers. But he was able to relate to me on a lot of issues, being that he was also from Long Island and that he was one of the kids who grew up with having a hard life, and same thing, I had a hard time sleeping. So he's the one who introduced me to the theory that is like the negative of the mind, or something. I think it's negative of the mind or something like that. Meaning of the mind. Oh God, I can't remember the exact phrase that he used, but basically it's just the breakdown on how the brain loves to focus on the negatives, and how your brain is really wired to focus on the hardest and negative parts of your life, so that this way it stays in a constant state of stress, and it loves that stress, it loves being in that state, but in reality it does nothing but destroy you more. So that was my like real transition into therapy, and that was back in late 2015 into 2016. And then I took a gigantic gap in my therapy break, which was the dumbest mistake, because there were so many more things I was healing from with therapy, and I stopped in a very stupid manner, which then led to that whole spiral that we talked about on my episode, from the job loss to the relationship loss. Well, I'm sorry, from my uncle passing away to the job loss, to the relationship loss, to me getting out of the military. It was by far the time where I needed to be in therapy the most, and I completely neglected it and didn't go until another year later, literally, with my first real therapy session outside of the military.
So even after the suicide attempt, you still didn't go into therapy? Mm-hmm.
Wow. No, so I was still so terrified to even talk about it, because I didn't know how I was going to react with a lot of it. There was still so many fresh wounds that I was trying to heal from or trying to suppress, just because I wasn't ready to confront those emotions. I wasn't ready to confront that part of me. I wasn't ready to confront those demons and traumas and everything else that had built up that I never got a chance to really handle, which is completely detrimental to your overall well-being, mentally, physically, spiritually. Yeah. It is a very, very dark time that you could put yourself into if you completely keep suppressing everything and keep putting band-aids over your cancers.
Yeah, it really is, dude. Like, we kind of touched on this on your podcast, but it's so important that I'll repeat it until the fucking day I take my last breath. We have to express our emotions. Like, it's so important. Like, I'm somebody who holds my shit in, and even I've seen the effects of it, you know, and how the anxiety, the depression can just build and build and build until you do get to that point where you're having these intrusive thoughts about like doing crazy shit to yourself, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And that's where the parts where you feel that you're going too far. And it's really riding the waves. And sometimes you get stuck into a storm that you have no control over. And those are the storms where it's the most important to try and stay the most calm that you can and start really looking within on why you are dealing with this. Like, one of the things that we, again, not to keep bringing that episode up, but there was, especially with alcohol, like when someone's too drunk around me, and I had to constantly keep repeating myself, or I had to constantly keep doing like one of these, like the, you know, no, get away from me. Like,
oh my
the,
God.
Like the alcohol breath, like the constant trying to get away from the repetitive stories, the obnoxious tones, like it's and stupid things that just come flying out that, like, you know, they're not even thinking about saying that, it's just coming right out. It's like an instant trigger to the childhood trauma, and there has been instances where it's caused me to really lose my temper and lose my cool, because I was a sober one around a bunch of drunks, and it got me to the point where I realized, damn, if that's such an easy trigger for me, I need to really do some deep healing within. And when I talked about it in the therapy, it was just really a drawback to my childhood.
Yeah. Same, dude. Actually, literally the same. Like, I am a very peaceful person until there is, for me, it's like children. When children are like in danger, because of what I, you know, like I grew up with alcoholism. My stepmother is an alcoholic, and she is very abusive. And so when I was a kid, I was 7-8 years old, when I was introduced to this human who was not the nicest, my father didn't do anything to like protect us. So now as an adult at 32 years old, when I see a child is in danger, even like a fraction of like a tiny fraction, it's a switch that goes off, and I see black, dude. Like, I see red, and I will kill whoever the fuck is in my way if you are putting a child in danger, like, period. And I didn't realize until therapy where that came from, you know, like where I don't fight. I've literally gone after like family members because, you know, like they were drunk in front of their kid. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just something switches inside of you. So it's crazy. It's crazy what it fucking do you find like you've learned a lot about yourself by being in therapy?
Oh yeah, that between therapy, meditation, and just overall really calling yourself out on the bullshit. Like, at the end of the day, your therapist can only see so much from you, you can only express so much, and you can only tell so much truth. But in reality, the true work comes when you're alone. The true work comes in when those intrusive thoughts start kicking in. Should I text that person? Start kicking in. Should I do this? Start taking in. Like, it's like the little should I's, would I, can I? And if any of those questions are starting to roam in your brain during those time frames, by all means, do the complete fucking opposite, because you're just going to completely set yourself back from whatever growth you're trying to pursue.
Yeah, literally. It's the why wasn't I good enough? Why am I still not good enough? It's like, you know, like,
no, reality is like you are good enough for yourself. It's just a matter of what are you going to do with the bad shit about it? Are you going to keep drinking that pain away? Are you going to keep popping that next pill? Are you going to sub that next person just because it's making you feel better, you know, talking gossip and all these things about other people to try and boost your ego? Like, what are you really doing about yourself? What are you really doing to help heal? Are you setting yourself back? Are you setting yourself up for failure, or are you setting yourself up for success at the end of the day?
Yeah. I found like, okay, so you're into spirituality.
Yes.
So you probably know a lot about like the fight between the ego and the higher self.
Ego and pride is a motherfucker.
Right. Do you find though that like most of like for me at least, all of my spiritual awakenings, and still the things that I'm learning today is learning to quiet. Like, it all goes back to the ego for me. I don't know if it's just me, but like, I'm always having to quiet my ego. Like, don't let that person who cut you off on the the road.
Oh, you're literally reading my fucking brain. I was just about to use that same analogy, a car analogy. You're literally in my fucking brain. I was just about to bring that up. Oh, that is so scary. But at the same time, it's true, though, because at the end of the day, if that person cuts you off, is your instinct to go back around that person and then cut them off? Is your instinct to put your blinders on and then completely, you know, shun that person, ride their ass? Like, in reality, if that person cuts you off, I can't even say shit because I've been guilty of it too. But
Dude, we all are.
I think it's just that Long Island drive. Especially if you're driving 60 in the left lane on the LIE.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right. What are you doing?
Especially if it's 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. If you're driving 60 in the left lane when there's literally 3 empty lanes and you choose the left lane, you're choosing violence that day, and mm-hmm. I don't respect you.
You're choosing to be tailgated. Tailgated? Is that the word?
Yeah, tailgated. Exactly. You're choosing to start that problem of sitting in the left lane where you knowingly it's an express lane and you're going 60.
See, I like to think of myself as the vigilante of the road. Like, I hate when people are, when there's it's a one lane highway and these fucking people are in, and you're going the speed limit, but these fucking people are in a rush and they want to cross a double yellow to pass people on a one lane. I will purposely speed up and literally go toe to toe with you. I've done it before on, like, have you Sweet Hollow Road?
Yes.
I literally almost killed myself and this other dude. When I tell you, I swear on my fucking Nonny's grave, I was flooring it down Holy Sweet Hollow shit. Road because this idiot was trying to pass me on the left and I was doing the speed limit and I was like, not today. And I fucking slammed on my shit and we're neck and neck. We're flying down this road and I beat him because he had to take the L and come behind me. But like, that's my ego for me. Like, why does that bother me? Why? What's the big deal if he passes me?
See, I don't know why either, because I literally just put myself in your shoes and I would do the same exact thing. Like, you're not about to do that shit to me. Like, you're not about to pass me like this. But I think it's like a thing of you don't want to get cut off again, or you don't want to get you want to get cheated again. That way.
It's a control thing.
Yeah. Another thing is, like, if there's the most notorious thing I could think of is going on express drive, trying to make that left onto Washington. Mm. It's especially 5:30 in the afternoon when all the factories come, like, let loose and all the factory workers are finally out. You know, then everyone's all coming home at the same time from the industrial areas. And everyone's coming home from the banks and everyone's coming home from literally everybody's on their home. It's a mob and a half. And there's one lane that you can turn left and get into a single lane that either has two lanes that turn either into a turning lane or into a straight lane. And the amount of times that people will fly right down that line of people and they'll see that little bit of gap and then scoot right to get right in. If I see that happen, like, my instinct is to just as much as I can, if it's a centimeter, like it's a fucking pubic hair of a fucking gap, I am not leaving no space for you to try and cut in front of me, because it's my instinct that I don't want you to fucking cut me up because I'm tired of getting cheated. And that's where I feel the instinct comes from. But there are time and place for it all. You sometimes got to check yourself and realize, all right, wait, I'm going 90 and it's 40.
Dude, wait, that happened to me this morning. You know, there was, I was on the Southern State. My school is out west, you know, so I have to take the Southern State. And there was, three lanes. There was one lane that was closed, the right lane. They were doing construction for a bit. So, you know how people wait till last minute. Mm-hmm. And this is how I know that I'm, like, spiritually leveling up in life. And it sounds so fucking stupid, but I surprised myself because I let three cars who waited last minute go in front of me. And there was a piece of me that wanted to create no gaps whatsoever and like tell you to fuck off. And now you just, you know, like you missed your chance, you fucking ass wipe of a human being. But I breathed it out and I was like, you know what? We're all going to the same place. And I let three cars go ahead of me. And then I looked at my, well, I thought to myself, who the fuck are you? Are you okay? Because I would have never done that. Someone's in a good mood. Right, right. It's Monday and you're letting three people go in front of you. Like, I would have never done that. I would have like, damn near.
That is a sign. That is a sign of growth. When you sit there and you give yourself that pat on your back, it is important that you do give yourself that little pat on your back, because it's a little steps. It's the baby steps into that growth. Right. Like, for even me, as far as like letting someone go in front of you that's trying to cut you off, like, okay.
Right. So that's it's whatever. Exactly. It's not like if I choose to let you in, I feel good about it. If you choose to make me let you in, normally I get pissed off. This morning I was like completely zen. I'm like, wow, this meditation shit's working, because like that would have pissed me the fuck off, you know? And to me,
it's gonna leak out again though. Like, it's going to leak out again, but it's just a matter of now, are you going to allow yourself to get as far as going 90 and a 40? Or are you going to allow yourself to just, maybe he's worth a different day?
Yeah. But that's the fucking battle every day. And I mean, it can be as something as small as that versus like something as big as you dealing with an emotional thing, right? Like, you're constantly having to fight the ego and like take the high road. And it's not easy to fucking take the high road. I got to tell you, it's really.
No, ego really is a motherfucker, just because, especially I see it a lot in the gym. People wanting ego lift. People want to compromise their form, you know, damage their backs or break their legs or do everything just to impress a bunch of people that they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has a different goal in the gym. And it's such a fucking annoying trend of trying to lift the heaviest in the gym, like setting that goal, like setting... Why?
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why? At the end of the day, if your goal walking into a gym is to be that attention-seeking asshat, you're completely destroying the fucking value of what it really does mean to work yourself in the gym, of wanting to grow not only just physically, but just evidently the mental growth that comes from it as well. Because I didn't get anywhere to where I'm at today just by fucking sitting on my ass and picking up a pair of fucking Twix and eating it, like eating the left and right bag at the bag or package at the package. Like, no, it was spent hours grinding in a gym, you know, lifting heavy shit, putting essentially putting the emotions that I was feeling throughout the day on my muscles, like putting it on my own body, and whatever anxieties I was severely going through. Like a couple of years ago, and during my last relationship, I would get anxiety, chest pains to the point that I would damn near like start to have like it looked like fucking seizures. Like the amount of chest pain I would grab from it, because I had no control over it, and I was on zero medication and I wasn't smoking weed. I was just doing a whole bunch of fucking drinking, and all that kept doing was just,
which is the fucking worst.
Yeah. That's another thing that we can get into later on. It's just how I don't get how much people like the mentality of getting fucked up and spending $300 or $400 on a night that you're not going to fucking remember, first of all, but that $300 to $400 that you put into booze that are destroying your body, not only physically but mentally as well. That money could have just gone to your groceries. That money could have gone to your bills. Like, that money could go to a fucking investment of the future. Like,
dude, I'm saving so much money by not going out and blowing my money and like spending it on alcohol. Like, being sober, who knew that was my savings plan, you know what I mean? because I'm just watching the money like stack, you know, in my bank account.
That's the biggest challenge too that people get as well. Well, one of the biggest challenges that people have, proper English here, I'm trying to work on that shit, trying to pull the fucking the army grunt out of me, and also the fucking the little Brentwood hood out of me. Trying to get that shit out and speak proper. But for the most part, fuck, I completely lost
it. ADHD.
Big time. Oh yeah.
I did that in my last episode. I was in mid sentence. What?
My train of thought went that way.
Dude, I'll be speaking like mid sentence, and like, you know, anxiety does that too, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It makes you want it cripples your way to get your proper words out.
Yeah.
Everything that you want to say.
Because you're thinking so much, right? Right, your thoughts are just coming a mile a minute that mid-sentence you're like, wait, what the fuck was I saying and where was I going with it? I do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. But that's another reason why I also love doing podcasts instead of just like quick short interviews, is because that gives us the time to, you know, retrace the steps and backtrack to the conversation again, versus answer this question this time, answer this question in a timely manner. It's just, fuck, yeah. What are we talking about? Oh, go back to this shit again.
Right. You can't circle back around. Like you said something before that I'm trying to think about. We got on such a tangent that I don't remember what the fuck I was going to say. Oh, going back to what you were saying about the body thing. I don't think it's sustainable. Like when you were saying the ego, right? How people that motivates people to do the work, you know,
it's definitely not sustainable at all whatsoever. It's definitely not sustainable if you're looking for the long-term goal of that. It is definitely not sustainable
that's
at all
not,
because
that's not good motivation.
You're quick to realize that it's a very frail foundation to build on.
Yeah,
it's not something sturdy at all whatsoever. Like if you're taking just the quick pictures in the gym and then putting on a ton of fucking filters like that, and then posting it up just to get some likes and views, versus somebody who's actually been putting into work and putting on zero fucking filters and is actually, you know, you could see the results clearly in person and on Instagram, versus the person who is completely filtered out and looks like a fucking completely different person when you see them and in person versus on Instagram.
Right. I feel like fitness is kind of like a relationship. Like you can't sustain a long-term relationship without your heart being in it, right? You can't sustain long-term fitness and health and wellness without truly wanting it from your heart, from within. If you just want to impress a dude or impress a girl or look good on Instagram, yeah, you'll enjoy the benefits of it, but you won't keep up with it because eventually your heart just won't be in it. You know what I mean? And I feel like if you you have to really want to be fucking healthy.
Absolutely. And this is the part where when someone first signs up with my personal training or nutrition programs, one of the first things I ask them is that, are you looking for a diet or are you looking for a lifestyle change?
Mm-hmm.
Just because if I hear the words diet come out of your mouth, I really don't want to work with you, just because I'm looking for people that are looking for lifestyle changes that are going to be committed to, once you either lose or gain that weight, that you're going to maintain that you're not going to completely lose it all, or you're not going to completely set yourself back. Like, for example, one of the quick things that people are doing for non-medical purposes, they're getting the gastro sleeves just so this way they can lose the weight. But in reality, if the people that are doing that just so this way they can, it's a quick fix to lose weight. Yeah. But if you don't change up your eating habits and you don't change up your lifestyle, and you go right back to what you were doing in the first hand, you're going to put that right back on and at a much faster rate because you have half a stomach.
Right. Right. And the gastric sleeve and all of those surgeries, only work when you want to make that change. The minute you stop wanting to, like, the minute you see the results and you're like, nah, okay, my heart's not in it anymore. I don't really care about being healthy, so I'm going to incorporate shit food back into my diet. That's the minute you see people like gaining the weight, breaking the fucking like staples, whatever it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. And back in the hospital because their stomach's all irritated and they want to try and lose weight again. And in reality, they can only cut out so much. So then a doctor puts them on some type of aggressive fat burner and that burns holes in their stomachs. Like it's...
Jeez.
There's no quick fix.
No.
The biggest problem in today's world is that literally everybody's looking for that quick fix. Everybody is looking for that quick way out, that quick heal. Everybody's looking to get rich quick. Everybody's looking to lose that weight quick. Everyone's looking to build that muscle as fast as they can. But in reality is, if you don't take the time to really set back and to really put the work in, you're not going to appreciate when to get that work in. Once you get to that goal, whatever it may be, seeing those commas in your bank account or seeing yourself in that physical, like the physique that you're ideally wanting, it stays longer when you actually appreciate it and you want to keep the work going and you actually are committed to a lifestyle change versus just getting hot for the wedding and you're right back into your old habits again, like just to fit into your dress. Like, Do you realize how good you would feel if you would keep that same habits after the wedding?
Right.
Do you realize how good you would feel after the Sweet 16, after, you know, whatever, after that vacation, that if you just went right back into the hard work and still allowing yourself that, it gives you that mental satisfaction knowing that if you even have like that cup of ice cream or that fucking... that burger or that slice of pizza, like in reality, it makes you one feel better as a mentally because you know that you're putting the work in still, but your body is also going to appreciate the fact that you're still fitting in that size for guys, 28 to 32 waistband. Like,
yeah,
I don't know sizes for women, so I can't say what ideal weight is.
To be honest, neither do I anymore. I think it's like 12. Well, 12, I don't know if that's a big size or not, though. 12, 8, 6.
You fucking lost me. Like, I don't know, but in reality, it's all about you're holding yourself accountable.
Yeah.
Are you holding yourself accountable, and are you actually holding yourself accountable? People say they're holding themselves accountable, but then go off and spend money on stupid shit. Or they hold themselves accountable and then they go off and then they blow $300 on a night out.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and we're holding sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
We're looking for instant gratification in this society, especially like people our age. We're so used to social media and like you post a picture, it gets the likes. You post it. We want instant gratification for shit. So nobody wants. Yeah, right. And you see, and we're constantly shown people going viral, mega viral, and like that, their lives changing overnight, which, yeah, that happens with now the age of the internet and everything like that. But for most people, you have to build that shit. You have to work at it. You have to show up every single day and be consistent. And I think with any change, whether it's your body or your mind or you're trying to build a business or whatever, you have, that's the key. Like, that's why most people don't stick with things, because you have to shift it. You have to shift your mindset. And like, sometimes you have to fuck everybody off. Like, what I've come to know is that it's very lonely.
Mm-hmm. Because the more work you do within, the more you start to realize the people you're hanging around were more so the people that fed your either ego or they fed your toxic traits that were good times. The more that you take a step back and realize, are these people that are around me actually going to benefit my character and going to lead me to success in the future? Or are these people that are around me just going to completely set me back and keep me down?
Yeah.
Like, is there going to be growth hanging out in this friendship, or is this going to be something where we're still reminiscing high school memories at 35 years old?
Right.
Like I'm 26 and I'm about to creep up on my 10 year anniversary, and the amount of people that whenever I see them again from high school, they talk about, "Hey man, you remember this? You remember this?" I'm like, nah, can't say I do.
Right.
It's just because if you're still stuck in that state of high school, you're showing me that you're not really taking this whole life thing serious, and that we only do get this one opportunity to try and either make as much of an impact as possible or do as much as possible and really appreciate when you do wake up the next day.
Right. Dude, I'm not the same fucking person that I was a year ago, let alone 10. You know what I mean? Like,
and that should be the goal. You should not be the same person you were last year.
Right.
There's that meme that goes around of a caterpillar talking to a butterfly, and it's saying that you changed, and the butterfly says back, you're supposed to.
Right.
Every year you should be better than what you were last year in every single manner, both in all physically, in a physical manner, in a mental manner, in a spiritual manner, in a financial manner, like in a moral manner. Like, these are things that are, that should be grown every single year, not your bottle collection, not your debt, not your clothing rack. Like, you know, these are things that are more important rather than these material items that are just going to do nothing but just clutter up your lifestyle.
Yeah. I think I've grown a lot emotionally, and I think this year for me is a year of financial and career growth. I just feel it. Last year I did a lot of I did a lot of healing and going through like depression and anxiety and stuff like that. And I woke up a lot this past, like 2021 was my like, wake the fuck up, bitch.
Yeah, your reality check, wake up call.
Yeah. And then going into 2022 was my year of like, okay, now it's time. I just got my ass handed to me anxiety wise. Now it's time to fix it and really like get myself to a place that I can be proud of, that like Tori from 2020, 2021 can look at and be like, I'm proud of you, bitch. You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at.
Absolutely. And that's where I feel everyone should be. That should be your year's end goal, no matter what, is to have some type of an improvement. Everybody has these New Year's resolutions that they don't fucking stick to in the beginning of the year. And it pisses me off the most just because it takes up so many fucking parking spots in the gym. But second off, it also is just, as somebody who literally took the time to really put the time into changing a lot of things, mental, physical, my surroundings, people who I hung around, people who I'd call, you know, people who I'd say are friends, people who I'd say are ex, people I can trust on that are just acquaintances. Like, there's a difference. People don't understand that too, is that you can have your true friends. You can have your crew that you definitely fuck with 110%, but you could also have acquaintances that you can trust at the same time. That you're not necessarily friends, but you know for a fact that if you started went to business, that they can fucking help you out either by purchasing a product or by sharing your information.
Yeah, or giving you information too, like,
yeah, what, or that too.
What I'm constantly seeking is people who are honestly like doing better than me, like a couple of steps ahead of me, either whether that's spiritually, whether that is on a business standpoint, because I am in a place where I understand that I can only grow from learning, like from other people, you know. So if I have a goal to be, you know, like I'm about to get my certification in life coaching, if that's my goal to be better at life coaching, well, then I'm going to be friends, a life coach who's been one for 10 years and, you know, watch what they do and how they move. You know, like if I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to get as many friends or acquaintances. They don't have to come to my house and break bread with my family, but it's like people are resources.
But if you got a business plan, I want to hear it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, and I want to run my business plan by you because I want to know, like, is this a good idea? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Not saying that. And I'm not saying that those people can't graduate into your circle, but establishing a boundary of just saying that, like, you're my business, like, partner, like, I trust you with this shit. Like, and then over time, if they've seen that that person's true, like, values also match your values and their morals match your morals. And over time, you start to see yourself in that person is like proven to you that you can trust them with everything. Then that person graduate you into your other part of the circle, into your other circle, your actual close circle. Yes. But setting boundaries first off is very important.
Yes, absolutely. Letting people, and it's okay to compartmentalize with people too. And like put people in, okay, you're this type of friend, you know, like I have friends and I have TikTok friends. And then some of those TikTok friends have morphed into friends, but then some of them have not. And they're just TikTok friends. You know what I mean? You have to set it, you know, set it apart. It's okay to do that.
Yeah. And if somebody is offended by that, then that just shows you their level of growth and where they're at maturity wise, but also mentally.
Right.
Because if their priority is to be your priority, then obviously they got their priorities completely messed up.
Yeah. My therapist tells me 6 months to a year before, like, you don't know somebody until you've known them for 6 months. And she said, if you know them, because she knows, you know, I'm all over social media, so I know people from all over. She's like, and in your case, if you know people that you are not in direct contact with, like, you know, face to face contact with, you have to give it a year. You can't trust somebody.
Minimum.
You can't call somebody a fucking friend. Like, think about how many people you've known in your life that you knew for years and they still fucked you over.
I literally say people since birth. I know a few that it's some blood, but
right.
Yeah, trust me. But then there's people like, it's little, throw this in there. Guys and gamer girls can also attend to this. When we meet that person over Xbox that we game with a lot, we hang out with a lot, you know, spending late nights with and early mornings with over the Xbox chat and stuff like that. I happen to have been lucky enough to meet my Xbox friend. He happens to live in Massachusetts and he is what I considered like my childhood best friend. And then actually meeting him in person, it was 10 years to the day that we actually, it was when we first met over Xbox on Modern Warfare 2. Then 10 years later, we actually met up in person. Like, I drove out to Massachusetts and hung out with him for a weekend. And yeah, we talked a lot of ideas. He happens to be an excellent cinematographer. He happens to be very good when with the computer skills as well. And his work is Davis Productions, D-A-I. No, wow. Whoops. D-A-V. I can spell. D-A-V-I-S Productions. Michael Davis Productions. He is very good with what he does because he actually took the time to, one, do it for free. But then he also is now working with some amazing companies. And actually one of Massachusetts, not Massachusetts, one of Boston's, even though Boston is in Massachusetts, but if I say anything else, I'll be pissed off. He works for an actual TV station out there as well.
Oh, dope.
So, yeah, it's – and he's also going to be getting married this later on this year, so definitely want to shout out congratulations to him as well.
Congrats, Michael Davis.
But, yeah, now we're on basically 12 years, almost 13 years of friendship. And, yeah, I'll be at his wedding. And it's – and it, he – I could definitely say he's somebody that, you know, I never saw – I would – first off, I never thought I'd be driving myself out to fucking Massachusetts because I can't stand being out there. And first off, I'll never drive through Connecticut again. I'll never go through that madness. Really? I don't know if you ever driven through – oh, my God.
Yeah.
I also learned my lesson that we're on Long Island to take the ferry next time, drive across, not go through the damn city, and then not take the city through Connecticut. Not taking it. I thought I had road rage until I actually did experience what true road rage was going through the
as a New York driver driving on the I-95 north with all the New England drivers. It's a different world. Yeah, it's definitely a different world.
Half of me wanted to just it goes back to that stage of trying to heal, but man, was the like the toxic driver came out of me so hard during that time frame. And I was also during I was also trying to drive around to find a dispensary out there, and it's one dispensary every 7 miles. And yeah, at that, it's not like seven, it's like 7 city miles.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like you think going through New York City, like think 7 city miles. Right. So, and then on top of that, trying to get to the dispensaries, it was about an hour to 2 hour wait to get into the fucking dispensary. So,
holy shit.
And this is before New York legalized it and all this shit. So I said, fuck this. I cut my losses. I said, I'm not about to waste all my time. And, you know, I could have been home already and drove back home. But yeah, side tangent, not side tangent. But yeah, yeah, just know if you're going, I don't know if it's any different now, but if you're really going into Boston to try and get into a dispensary, you know, it's going to be a minimum, but like 2 hour wait.
And you know what? It's so funny because when you're a New Yorker, we don't wait. New Yorkers do not. We don't wait longer than like 25. Well, me, I'm very patient. And honestly, I can blend in with the rest of the New England drivers. Like anytime I've driven to Connecticut to go like visit my friend Rhea or whatever, like I'm cool. Like we're good, you know. But I'm a real New Yorker, but like a New Yorker with no patience is not waiting an hour and 2 hours on it. Not fucking happening.
No, it especially on a traffic. If that HOV lane has no cars in it and it is a full dead stop in the left lane and it is 7:30 in the afternoon on a Monday, you're gonna take that risk to hop over that lane real quick and just drive up a couple feet and cut somebody else off because you know you got places to go and be home and fucking.
That's right.
Shit, especially if you gotta take a shit.
Luckily, I've never like been in. Oh no, one time I was driving to school in traffic. I had to fucking poop. And I had just gotten onto the Southern State. And like, you know, a couple exits away from me. I literally skipped class. I turned right around, went home. I pooped because there was no way I was waiting.
No, not making it. Not making it.
Nope.
My God.
I'm gonna soil myself.
The only time that ever happened when I was traveling up to visit my ex in Cortland, I was back to his ex relationship again, but there was a stop like about 3.5 hours up. It was like three. I was almost there. It's like 31 minutes. I would have made it, but my stomach said, "Nah, fam, you got to go now." And I always kept like a gallon jug in the car just in case if like, I had to use the bathroom. Like,
oh,
if I had
to piss.
So that's not a problem. Like the amount of times I pulled over and pissed in the car and then dumped out the water and you know, tightened up the seal again. Not wasting another bottle and just leaving it out in this open. I'd rather just get the gallon and pour it out and then use it again because of the kind of open space you have in the gallon versus the bottle where sometimes you have to clip it at the end if you're not done pissing, which is the most painful thing to do if you're, I don't know, on a rush in a crippled position, bent over in a car seat, trying to fucking, you know, avoid a pissing ticket on the highway. But I had to go into this like sketchy ass gas station and I will never forget the smell when I walked in. It was like, it was a combination of like tuna fish and like old, like
was it a unisex bathroom?
Yes, and there was also it was that smell of like the porta potty is like the last day of a festival. It's been used, hasn't been changed yet. Like yeah. It was bad. It was really fucking bad. Luckily, it was during the winter time, so I had my sweatshirt and then I had my shirt. You know how some places have two like separate rolls of toilet paper?
Yeah.
I damn near used half that one roll of toilet paper on the fucking seat alone to try and even protect my cheeks from catching whatever would have been on that damn seat. And I just remember as soon as I tried flushing, the handle was just starting to, it looked like it was going to break off. So I had to like gently try to flush the handle with my foot because I was not about to touch that shit. Because God knows who would have touched that thing with the way that toilet seat looked in the back. the most uncomfortable part was when I came out and you had the guy come out. Like, how do I explain this? So the bathroom was like on this wall, and then there was a counter, and then there was a door behind a counter, and it looked like the bathroom doors like kind of like matched up like with like the back room. So as I'm coming out the bathroom door, the guy comes out just at the same time and just staring me down, just like hardcore, like from the club, like staring you down, like from across the club, like you feel that tension of just like, I want to take that. I want to taste it. And I looked at him, back with like the most like, have a good day. And he goes, where are you going now? And I said, gonna go meet with my girlfriend. And it's just it creepy. It ended up being a very creepy story, but a creepy ending to it. But yeah, how the fuck did we even get to that?
I don't know, but you know what? This is our ADHD brain happening right now.
Talk about growth and emotional development. Sitting in a fucking sketchy ass gas station upstate, you know what, New York.
Everything I do always goes back to farting and shit and shitting.
God shitting or me. Sex, any of those.
Or thank sex, you. Right. Farting, shitting, sex. There's like no fucking in between.
Yeah, you're like a stereotypical like bar stool.
Well, I'm either talking about like these crazy spiritual concepts and like growth, or farts, shit, and poop and sex. You know.
Well. It, the one thing that I will say when it comes down to the people who are really looking for the emotional growth part of this conversation, I will steer back to this part. I will say that there's five things, and I'm pretty sure we discussed this when you were on the podcast also, but five things that really do lead to your overall growth and your characteristics of being disciplined, being patient, being empathetic, consistent, and being grateful, and living a gratitude lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. And being intentional, I feel like, about like everything that you do, put the intention into it. I'm going to have
positive intention. Positive intentions. If your intention is to fuck that person over, chances are karma is going to come right back around you and get you twice as hard.
Right. You got to make sure that you're putting that positive intention into it to change. Anyway,
intention is intention. Like at the end of the day, if you're a positive person overall, most of the things that you do in life are going to have positive intent. If you find yourself to be a spiteful, closed-minded person, most of the things you do will tend to be a negative in spite, which will then evidently lead to you never growing and you questioning, why is everybody else, you know, moving on and doing things better and I'm still stuck here.
Yeah, exactly. Because the universe doesn't reward that sort of energy. It just doesn't. Well, the universe doesn't know any different, right? So what you're putting out there is what you're getting back. That's the only job of the universe, is to give you back whatever the fuck it is you're putting out there. So if you're putting out negative all the time and you're doing things out of malice and you're being a selfish piece of shit prick, the universe is going to be like, cool. All right. We're going to give you that energy right back to you. And that's karma.
And those are the ones that are downing Budweiser every night, who have, you know, empty cans sitting around and their house smells like cigarettes. Like, if you're down and bad, if you're down bad and you're consistently pointing fingers, at the end of the day, it comes back to another word, accountability.
Yeah.
You know, if you're pointing fingers constantly, you're not going to get very far. If you're pointing the fingers back at yourself and just saying that, yeah, that should happen, but what am I going to do about it now? Like, I think one of the best things I've heard as of late, and it's another meme, I don't know if Steve Harvey actually said it, but they said, like, Steve Harvey said something like, if you're going through hell, keep going, because why would you stop?
Right. 100%. There's a song like that, actually, and it's so true. So fucking true.
Yeah, because why are you admiring the flames? Are you, you know, are you admiring the immense pain and everything around you? I know if you're going through hell, keep fucking going through and keep walking through and keep waking up and just putting a simple task of just getting your foot down off the bed and putting that next foot down and then putting that next foot in front of that one and putting the next foot in front of that one. It's just and also taking time to wake up and just say thank you. The little things, that 0.2 seconds to say thank you.
And truly feel that too. Like truly feel that gratitude.
To whatever, not just like in like spiritual, like not just talking like religious terms, but in just spiritual terms in general. Just saying thank you to whatever you may believe to say thank you for another day.
Yeah. Yeah. If you are able to see, able to hear, you have all of your mental faculties about you, your heart's beating, you got breath in your lungs. That's enough, dude. Like, you know, you should be thankful for that. So
yeah,
that's
not even it's we become so blind to how fast we have everything at our fingertips.
Yeah.
And how blessed we truly are to even just know when our next meal is.
Yeah.
Like even as blessed to know that we're going to sleep in a warm bed tonight. Like there's when it's
have water,
fucking
clean drinking water, you know?
Yeah. It's the little things like that. Once you start to truly appreciate that, you'll start to understand the pain of life and reality that it's much like muscle, much like our muscles, where we have to lift heavy shit and eat properly in order to grow, like in order for them to grow and see something. Like our souls and our brains are the same exact way. You know, we have to be broken down and then rebuild properly. As those people that are broken down and that don't rebuild properly, instead of drinking water and protein shakes and smoothies, they're drinking excessive beer. Not saying don't drink beer, you're positive. I still drink a beer every now and then, but excessive beer and or snorting that line or injecting that shit or popping that pill. Like those are the stages of when you're broken down. Are you rebuilding and actually growing, or are you breaking down and holding yourself down?
Yeah. And you know what? It's okay to, like, it's all about your baseline, right? So like if your baseline is positive, great. That doesn't mean you can never be upset. That doesn't mean you can never feel like, yesterday I had a pretty shitty day. Like I was just like not in a good mood, you know. I was upset. I was like feeling a lot of shit. It was just funky. Honor those feelings, but don't take residency there. Don't, like you said, don't stop just because you had a shit day. Everybody, you're human. You're gonna have a shit day. It's gonna fucking happen. You know what I mean? The key is not to never have a bad day. The key is that when you do have a bad day, those are the days you need to keep it pushing even more, you know?
So Les Brown, who's a motivational speaker, award-winning author, he is somebody that I really connected to, as far as he was told as a kid he was he needed special education. Like he needed these extra classes, and evidently that was me too. I was in resource and I was in the form of special education, and I was also a lot of people don't notice, but it was also more so due to the bullying factor, I mean, not showing up to school rather than my academic career. Mm-hmm. But I got held back in sixth grade. So one of the things that he really does connect me with is when he says, like, if you like, don't say that you're having a bad day, say that you're having a character building day.
I love that.
Because at the end of the day, it's true though. Because if you take these days that are very hard, if you take the days that are days where you look back and it makes like your heart stop, or it gives you like that, like a little bit of stomach pain, like, damn, that day really fucked me up. It only fucked you up because you allowed it to. Yep. At the end of the day, if you allow it to build your character instead, allow it to build, like instead of that frail foundation we said earlier, that like built on ego and pride, you could build a stable foundation, like that's filled with concrete, that's basically just consistent life lessons that are turned into blessings.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And that's
where building the foundation comes from, you know, like it's that strength to nobody who did anything great was just handed it. You know what I mean? Like they had to go through the emotional and the physical turmoil in order to get to the other side. That's where the foundation comes from. You know, it's that character building. So
it comes from taking the tough times and benching them. It takes the tough times and squatting them, like not trying to make it into an actual fitness term, but in reality, whatever weight that you're carrying on your shoulders, if you're not using it to better your character, you're just using it to hold you down. And if eventually that weight makes you collapse to the point that now you're even having a hard time trying to even get up off the ground.
Yeah, dude, that's really the way you, that's fucking,
I'd say I'm a deep fucking thinker. Like I may be only 26, but I've been doing a hell of a lot of deep thinking, and I've acknowledged a lot of my faults and acknowledged a lot of my trials and tribulations that I really did, that I went through and turned my mistakes into lessons and lessons into blessings. Like there's a reason why I keep saying that. It's because it's a fucking truth. It's that every mistake that I've made, every single thing that I've done wrong in my life, I've gone back and done the work internally and transformed it into something where I learned from the mistakes. And then evidently it led to my blessings that I currently have, which is the fitness career, the coaching people in and outside of my gym, you know, people feeling comfortable enough to even talk to me or even be themselves around me because they know I'm not going to judge them for anything, because who am I to fucking judge? And in reality, there's no judging, no reality. It's just you judging yourself. It's just a matter of you getting yourself up every day, being able to look yourself in the mirror and actually being able to tie your shoes and not fucking stumble over the fact that there was a hiccup in the day, and then not using that stumble to fall and reflect on all the bad shit. Like, no, in reality, if you stumble, good, stumble and do some push-ups and then get yourself back up.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. I really do love that. Now, I've taken up a lot of your time, but...
Yeah, oh, holy shit. These conversations, the growth really do.
They do fly I was thinking that, like, they really fly. What is one last thing you want to say to anybody listening right now?
Reality is what you make it at the end of the day. If you're waking up every day and you're finding that you're being miserable every day, what are you doing besides taking that step? What's stopping you from taking that step towards actually bettering yourself? What's stopping you? It's okay to question yourself, but not overly question yourself. It's okay to analyze yourself in the mirror, but not overly analyze to the point that you're pointing out every flaw. The little things that you do with your life, as far as even just waking up and saying thank you, moving forward with your day, with whatever negative shit happens, you try to find a positive outlook on it. If you are just an overall person that is focused on, overall person that's focused on Jesus, wow. If you're just focusing on the negative, I pray for that you do eventually find the strength that you need to heal. And if you're finding yourself pointing fingers, point yourself back at the mirror real quick. Back at the mirror.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you for letting me take up all your time.
No, it's not a problem. I want to appreciate you having me on your show. You know, this is an honor.
And you can find all of his links in the description below if you're watching on YouTube. If you're not watching on YouTube, watch on YouTube. And you can check out his podcast, check out everything he's doing on Instagram. I appreciate you. And peace out.
I appreciate you too.